Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the second aliyah in the parsha of Vayechi, the last parsha in the book of Bereshit. In the previous aliyah, Jacob has told Joseph that he will bless and, in essence, adopt his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, as his own. They will each receive a tribal portion of the future land of Israel, which gives Joseph, de facto, a double share of property, which is what he gets as the firstborn, as I explained in the previous aliyah. Ve'enei Yisrael kavadu mizoken lo yuchal lirot vayagesh otam ilav vayishak lahem vayichabek lahem. And the eyes of Jacob of Israel had become heavy from age; he could not see, and he caused them to approach him, and he kissed them, and he hugged them. In fact, the fact that he could not see well was perhaps evident from the fact that he asked Joseph in the previous aliyah, "Whose are these?" when referring to the boys. However, I suggested there that Jacob was really questioning their worthiness to receive such a bracha. He was really asking, "What is their allegiance? Are they Egyptian Hebrews, or are they Hebrew Egyptians, so to speak?" If so, his limited vision isn't to explain why he didn't know who they were before, because I would argue he did. He just didn't know whether they were really part of the family or not from an Egyptian or Jewish sense or Israelite sense. But then the vision issue is really coming up to set the drama to come with the crossing of the hands, as we will see. Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef, Ro'o fanecha lo filalti, v'hine hera oti Elohim gam ed zarecha. And Israel said to Joseph, "The sight of your face I concluded I would never see," which means I didn't even think I'd ever get to see you. "Yet behold, God has shown me even your children." Vayotze Yosef otam me'im birkav vayishtachu le'apav arta. And Joseph brought them forth from his, that is, from Jacob's lap. Remember, Jacob was hugging and kissing them, so he's pulling them back from his lap, and he, Joseph, bowed with his face on the ground. Vayikach Yosef et shneihem, et Ephraim bimino misimol Yisrael, vet Menashe vismolo mimin Yisrael, vayagesh elav. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his, Joseph's right hand, to the left of Israel. Obviously, they're facing each other. And Menashe in his, Joseph's left, to the right of Israel, and he brought them to him, or presented them to him. Since Menashe is the biological elder, Joseph expected, obviously, that Jacob's right hand, the strong hand, would rest on Menashe in order to receive the double portion, or a greater portion of the blessing. And his left hand would rest on Ephraim. That was the plan. However, Vayishlach Yisrael et yimino vayashet al rosh Ephraim, v'hu atzair, ve'et smolo al rosh Menashe, shikel et yadav ki Menashe ha-Bachor. But Israel put out his right hand and placed it on Ephraim's head, even though he was the youngest. And his left one he put on the head of Menashe. His hands went with intent. Sikel et Yadav. Ki Menashe ha-Bachor, even though Menashe was the oldest. Ki, the word ki is a very flexible word. It can mean when, but, if, and here it means even though, as Eben Ezra proves. Eben Ezra and other commentaries also point out that the word sikel is from the noun sechel, meaning intelligence, meaning his hands went with intent. I have a good story, to give some teeth to this story. My father, Alan Levy, may he rest in peace, always drove the car in my family, and he was always able to find the right way. He was an expert at always being able to know where he was going, and this is obviously before the days of GPS. So I, as a kid, as a little kid, I used to ask my father how he always managed to find the way, and he used to say to me, "I let the car just go where it wants to go," and I think that's the intent here. The hands sort of, he let his fingers do the walking, so to speak. Of course, this promotion of Ephraim is going to cause Joseph some consternation, as we will see in the upcoming Aliyot. Although it really shouldn't surprise Joseph if you think about it. The book of Genesis is awash in the firstborn son's, biological firstborn son's, not getting the primary firstborn blessing, at least in the religious sense of that blessing. Hevel was chosen over Cain, even though Cain was older. Shem over his brothers, even though Shem is probably not the oldest, so there's some dispute. Abraham, probably not the oldest, and he gets the nod. Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael is biologically older, but Isaac gets the nod. Same with Jacob and Esav. The whole point is that just because you're biologically oldest, maybe that you get double portions of the land, but it doesn't make you the primary child. In fact, Joseph himself, well, it's true he was a Bechor of the Rachel-born kids. He replaced the older Bechor, Reuven, because of Reuven's bad behavior. Biological b'chorut gives you an advantage, but it's not a keeping advantage. It can be lost. Vayivarech et Yosef vayomar, and he blessed Joseph saying. Now, he's blessing Joseph because it's, in essence, Joseph is the one being blessed through the two kids, because what that means is Joseph is the Bechor, he's the eldest, and he's getting the double portion of the land of Israel. Hence, he, Joseph, is divided into two sub-tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and that really means that it's he who is getting the full force of the blessing. The following blessing is a poem with three lines glorifying God and justifying the deservedness that God should bless them, followed by a request that God bless them and benefit himself, Israel, through their success and prosperity. So here is the poem. Ha'elohim asher hitalachu avotai lefanav Avraham v'Yitzchak. Ha'elohim haro'eh oti me'odi ad hayom hazeh. Ha'malach ha'go'el oti mikol ra. Yivarech et ha'ne'arim v'yikare bahem shemi v'shem avotai Avraham v'Yitzchak.
The God whom my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked always before him, which means they were always with him, they always did the right thing in his eyes. The God who has shepherded me or befriended me from the day of my existence until this day. The angel who redeems me even now from every evil, the even now I put in, but that's the sense of it, always. Let him bless these lads or the lads, and let my name be called or be recalled through them, and let them multiply massively throughout the land. The idea of Hitalchu Lefanai, again, as I said, is one of loyalty and steadfastness, always following God's mission. So the first line of the blessing invokes the loyalty of the forefathers as justification for God blessing their offspring. In the second line, Jacob affirms that God has shepherded it or even befriended. The word haro'eh oti could be from re'eh, a friend, or ro'eh, a shepherd, every day of his life, which is a powerful statement given his incredibly difficult life. Maybe only David in all the Tanakh is more suffering than Jacob as a biblical character, but we've seen that before. When he saw the kids, rather than saying, oh my God, I have such a miserable life and you were lost to me so many years, he said, wow, I didn't even expect to see you, and not only do I get to see you, I get to see your kids. He really looks on the bright side of things, does Jacob. In the third line, God not only steers Jacob on the right path, but he physically intervenes to save him from his enemies, like Shechem's neighbors, Esav against Lavan, the angels, of course, that went up and down the ladder. And the reason why he uses the term malach here is not that God is an angel, but that God's intervention in this world comes in a physical form, because it has to be in this world, and Jacob doesn't describe it to God itself, he describes it to angels, which are essentially physical manifestations of God's power, his presence, and his will in this world. It's not clear what Jacob means by my name will be called or recalled through them. Eben Ezra cites some verses where all the nation of Israel seems to be called as Joseph or Ephraim. Much like today, all Israelites are called Jews, even though most of us are Yehudim Jews, but not all of us. Some of us are from different tribes than from the tribe of Judah. For instance, even if you're a Levi or Cohen, we're still called a Jew, as in Judah, even because we're all known under his banner. I will try to demonstrate that as firstborn, Jacob's expectation was that Joseph's tribes were really to be the priests, the religious guides of the nation. And as such, Jacob, who was famous for his building houses of God and erecting oil on them, and making places where people would come again and again to pray, the idea of creating a house of God is really a Jacob idea. So I guess it's not surprising that he should think of all of Israel under the holy standard, and I believe that he wanted Yosef and his children to become priests, as I'll show later on in the Brachot. Finally, Manasseh and Ephraim should multiply like fish, vayidgu, from the word dag, and they should do so in the land of Israel, no doubt a prophecy that even though now we're in Mitzrayim, eventually we will come home to the promised land.